sister would have come up with me, but we're going to Knoxville after this, and her back's a little sore, so two services would have been a little much for her today. So we know, as Christian, as those here in God's church, that we're to pray. All right? We also know that we should pray each and every day of our lives. You know, in fact, 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us that we should pray without ceasing. Now, we understand that this is fairly figurative, and it's talking about our connection with God, always being there present with us. You know, prayer is our primary connection to God, you know, aside from His Holy Spirit, of course. You know, prayer itself is an enormous, enormous topic. And I there's no way I could possibly cover all of prayer in a sermonette, or probably even in one sermon. But so we're going to narrow it down just a little bit. And we're going to focus on the aspect of a prayer of intercession, or an intercessory prayer. So we'll spend the next few minutes taking a look at the concept of an intercessory prayer, and hopefully gain a deeper understanding of how we should approach this type of prayer. If you like a title for this message, it's simply titled, The Prayer of Intercession. The Prayer of Intercession. So let's begin by making sure we understand what intercession is. You know, when we think about intercession, we most likely think of the biblical passage that speaks of Christ as our intercessor. You know, we're not going to focus on that aspect of it, but if you'd like to write it down in your notes, Hebrews 7, verse 25 is where you can study that topic. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines intercession as a prayer, petition, or entreaty in favor of another. A prayer, petition, or entreaty in favor of another. Simply put, an intercessory prayer is going to God on the behalf of someone else, you know, just as Christ, as our intercessor, goes to our Father on our behalf. So we're going to begin in Scripture this morning by basically taking a quick overview look of prayer itself. So if you will, if you'd like to turn with me in your Bible to 1 Timothy. Book of 1 Timothy, we'll be going to chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2. And we'll begin in verses 1 through 3. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. You know, and as Mr. Swanson pointed out in his prayer, he had a very good intercessory prayer, because he spoke of the people around us and the world around us and the leaders. So he helped my sermonette. So as we see here, and as was mentioned, we are to make intercession in our prayers, along with our thanks and with our supplications. You know, it's written out that it is to be a part of our prayer itself. You know, if we're to pray intercessory prayers for all the people, including the physical leaders around us and those in the world, then it goes without saying that we should most certainly put forth prayers of intercession for our fellow brethren. So with that, we'll also take a look in Scripture to see what it says about our brethren and prayers for our brethren, the way we should regard one another. So we'll turn over just quickly to James chapter 5. We'll just be reading one verse in James 5, verse 16. James 5, verse 16. And if your Bible sounds a little different than what I'm reading, this is mostly from the English Standard Version. So James 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So what this saying is, the prayers of the righteous are meaningful to God. You know, the prayers of the righteous God gives them special attention to the prayers of the righteous. Now, there are a couple things that we need to make sure we keep in mind when we think of that concept, the concept of prayers, especially in the manner of healing. The first thing that we need to realize is God acts according to His will. God acts according to His own will, not necessarily our will. And that, if you'd like to research that, there again, I'll just give you the scripture. 1 John 5:14 is where you can find that. Just because we want something to happen, or just because we have maybe a multitude of people praying for something, doesn't necessarily mean that that's God's will and God's going to answer it the way we want. God doesn't have to do exactly what we ask Him to do. Prayers are not a token used to buy God's favor. That's not how prayers work with God. In a recent Life Hope and Truth article by Mike Bennett that was on the same topic, intercessory prayer, Mr. Bennett brings out this point very well. So I'm going to read just a small quote from his article. Mr. Bennett states, "Intercessory prayer is not a numbers game. God does not have to wait until 10 or 20 or 100 people pray about a situation in order to intervene. Prayer is not a vote or petition that God has to act on if enough people sign it. Our prayers can't force God to do anything. He can and does act when the time is best, whether one or a million pray about it." End of quote. God isn't up in heaven saying, just three more prayers and I can intervene. Go ahead, you're almost there. That's not the way God works. That's not the way He deals with our prayers. Just because we pray, or 1,000 righteous people pray an intercessory prayer for someone, doesn't mean that God has to intercede. And also, God's willingness to act upon that intercessory prayer is not dependent upon the righteousness of the person praying or the righteousness of the person being prayed for. All too often, people will have the mindset that if someone isn't being healed after having prayers asked for them and after being anointed and after these things of prayer requests have went out, then they must be doing something wrong. They must be hiding that one sin they haven't repented of, and that's why they're not being healed. It doesn't work that way. If we take on that mindset, then we become Job's comforters. If you remember the story of Job, Job's comforters were convinced that he had a sin or something that he wasn't repenting of, and that's why he was going through all these trials, and they just kept telling him, you need to repent. What are you doing wrong? We don't want to become that person. We don't want to become Job's comforters. If you recall, at the end of the book of Job, God chastises and confronts Job's comforters because of that attitude. And even at the end of that, Job actually goes on to ask an intercessory prayer for those comforters and their attitude. So we need to understand that just because someone isn't being healed or an intercessory prayer isn't being answered the way that we ask, doesn't necessarily mean that person is doing something wrong. God's will supersedes ours at all times. Perfect example of proof that God does not work in that manner when it comes to interceding, in the lives of a righteous person, can be found in 2 Corinthians. And I was just going to read it, but I think we'll go ahead and turn there. 2 Corinthians 12, if you'll go ahead and turn there with me. I know it's in here because I looked it up, right? 2 Corinthians 12, and we'll begin in verse 7. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now, if we have the mindset that God only, you know, answers the prayer of the righteous or does not answer the prayer for someone who is unrighteous, then that would lead us to believe that Paul wasn't righteous enough for God to heal him. You know, Paul is asking God to help him, and Paul was a righteous person, but God decided that it was not in his best interest, in God's interest or Paul's interest, to go ahead and heal him. And we all understand that Paul was a righteous person, and so that obviously wouldn't have been the case. That would not have been the reason why God didn't heal him. You know, there are those who are righteous that are left to suffer through their afflictions, if that's God's will. But we need to remember that our prayer of intercession is dependent upon God's will. You know, regardless of our standing or the person's standing, it's God's will. So then we'll go ahead and take a look at some things to keep in mind then when submitting that prayer of intercession to God on someone else's behalf. Now, it is all right to pray a general prayer at first. Now, obviously, we want to pray for our brethren. We want to pray for everyone around the world. You know, we've already read that God wants us to pray for all the people in the world. And we don't know the ailment of everyone. We don't know the trials that everyone's going through. So it's okay to say to God, you know, we want our brethren to be, you know, we want them to be solid and firm. We want them to be healthy. If they're going through any trials, if they're having any issues in their life or with their families, you know, we would like your intervention in that. We would like you to help them, even for the things that we are unaware of. You know, it's definitely okay to do that. What we do not want to do is get in the habit of saying, God heal everyone and let everyone be happy. You know, that's very shallow. That's like skipping a stone across the top of the water. You're not getting deep with that prayer. We don't want to get in the habit of doing that. So when you pray a prayer, a general prayer for the brethren, you know, you can still be specific. You can say, God, you know I don't understand what all the trials are, but I would really like you to intervene in those lives. You know, don't just skip the stone. In contrast to that, we do need to be praying specifically for the needs of the people that we know. You know, a great example of an intercessory prayer can actually be found early on in Scripture, all the way back in the book of Genesis. So if you will, go ahead and turn with me back to Genesis chapter 24. And I included this prayer because this prayer just amazes me every time I read it. It just really amazes me. Genesis chapter 24. And we're going to begin in verse 12, but to give you a little bit of context, this is toward the end of Abraham's life. Abraham is coming towards the end of his life, and he knows it. So he's in the search for a wife for Isaac. You know, not wanting Isaac to marry a Canaanite woman, he has selected his most trusted servant to go back into his own homeland of Haran and look for Isaac a wife in that area. So that this is the context. So this servant has been sent back, and his job, his task given to him by Abraham, is to find the proper suitable wife that God wants for Isaac. So we cut into this verse, or this thought, in verse 12, and this begins the prayer of this servant. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men in the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camel drink also. Let the same be that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Now, this is a specific prayer of intercession. I mean, you can't get much more specific than this prayer. I mean, this servant is saying, okay, I'm standing here beside this well, and when the women come up, I'm going to say this, and I want the woman you're choosing to say this exact quote. And when she says this exact quote, then I'm going to know that you chose her. Right? That is very specific. And lo and behold, God answers the prayer. The damsel comes up and says the exact quote. And it is it's Rebecca who is chosen to be the wife of Isaac. So it was a very specific prayer of intercession, and God answered it very specifically. So if we know the specific needs of one another, and that as in that case, then we should most certainly be praying specifically for those needs. You know, this shows God that we truly care for the well-being of one another, and that we're willing to take that extra time to petition Him on their behalf. So with that, what are some things that we can do, or what are some things that we can do to bolster our intercessory prayer? So, brethren, we need to be paying attention to the bulletins. I don't know if you get a weekly bulletin up here or not, but we need to be paying attention to the bulletins. We also need to be paying attention to the weekly announcements that come out from the home office. There are always prayer lists in these announcements, either the local or the ones from the office. You can always find brethren that need your prayers. You know, so we should be in tune that. We should also be in tune to our local congregations. We should know one another. We should talk to one another. We should understand the things that are going on in each other's life. So, you know, after services, when we get home, when we get, you know, to wherever we need to be, you know, we can get down on our knees and we can ask God personally for these things that one another need. You know, we need to have that close connection. We need to be in one accord with one another. If we are, then a lot of times you won't even have to ask someone, or they won't even have to tell you. You can see needs for people, and you can pray for them. But it takes knowing the person and being around them to be able to do that. When we pray an intercessory prayer, we should not only ask for healing and comfort and things of that nature, but we should also ask for things like the ability for the person to see past the trial, to not be overwhelmed by it, to see the proverbial light at the end of the tunnel. A lot of times trials are very heavy, and people struggle with getting through those. So we need to be praying for them to actually be able to get through the trial. You know, we also, to go along with that, we should pray for strength and patience for the person in the trial and for the caregiver. You know, if a person is in a trial, and especially a health trial, sometimes the caregiver actually takes on more of that load of the trial than the person who's actually in it. It's very important that we pray for the caregivers also for people in that situation. You know, we can also pray for the person in the trial to learn valuable lessons from the trial. I know we've all been through trials. We all have trials pretty often. And there's usually way more than one lesson to learn from a trial. You can usually get a few good lessons out of a trial. So we need to pray for people to be able to do that. Now, these are just a few of the things that you can do in your intercessory prayers that really make them more personal and allow you to really beseech God on behalf of one another. And I'm sure you can add to this list, and it'd be good to add to this list. Lastly, brethren, we also need to remember that a prayer of intercession is just as beneficial to the person praying as it is for the person for whom you're praying. Our minds change, our attitudes change, our heart change when we pray for one another, when we actually take the time to get down on our knees on behalf of one another. You know, we grow in humility and we grow in love. You know, we grow in God's Spirit when we're praying these intercessory prayers. You know, we become, as I said, of one accord. You know, for our last scripture, we're going to see that Paul kind of emphasizes this point in his letter to the Philippians. So if you'd like to, turn with me to Philippians, and we'll be going to chapter 2. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 5. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 5. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my work by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So in conclusion, brethren, we need to pray an intercessory prayer. Or when we pray an intercessory prayer for someone, we have participation in the Spirit. We're showing selflessness and love for one another. You know, we should strive to make our intercessory prayers specific so God can answer them specifically. You know, this can happen if we're connected to one another and we're really spending time with one another. And finally, we need to remember that when we earnestly pray a prayer of intercession for the needs of one another, we are sharing the mind of Christ. And Christ being the intercessor for us all.